When Jesus had called the 12 together, he gave them power and authority to drive out all demons and to cure diseases. And he sent them out to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal those who were ill. He told them, take nothing for the journey, no staff, no bag, no bread, no money, no extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there until you leave that town. If people do not welcome you, leave their town and shake the dust off your feet as a testimony against them. So they set out and went from village to village, proclaiming the good news and healing people everywhere. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard about all that was going on, and he was perplexed because some were saying that John had been raised from the dead, others that Elijah had appeared, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago had come back to life. But Herod said, I beheaded John. Who then is this I hear such things about? And he tried to see him. When the apostles returned, they reported to Jesus what they had done. Then he took them with him, and they withdrew by themselves to a town called Bethsaida. But the crowds learned about it and followed him. He welcomed them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who needed healing. Late in the afternoon, the 12 came to him and said, send the crowd away so they can go to the surrounding villages and countryside and find food and lodging, because we are in a remote place here. He replied, You give them something to eat. They answered, we only have 5 loaves of bread and 2 fishes. Unless we go and buy food for all this crowd, about 5,000 men were there. But he said to the disciples, make them sit down in groups of about 50 each. The disciples did so, and everyone sat down. Taking the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looking up to heaven, he gave thanks and broke them. Then he gave them to the disciples to distribute to the people. They all ate and were satisfied, and the disciples picked up 12 basketfuls of broken pieces that were left over.
I don't know if any of you have done much backpacking, but if you carry your own stuff, you're very careful about what you take with you. Every gram of weight counts if you've got to carry it on your own back. I remember the first Duke of Edinburgh's practice expedition I went in, all of us who were on it overpacked. And by the time we got to our first checkpoint, the person who was meeting us got lumbered with half of our stuff because we just couldn't carry it any further. And we just couldn't stand the weight. When you're backpacking, you don't take your bed with you. You take a lightweight sleeping bag. You don't take food in tins. You take stuff that's dehydrated. You don't take a shelf full of hardback books to read. You don't take anything like that at all. You want to travel as light as possible. And we begin our reading with Jesus instructing his disciples to travel light as they head off on their first solo mission trip. At the beginning of chapter 9 of Luke's Gospel, the 12 disciples have been called by Jesus to follow him. They have spent time traveling with him. They have witnessed his ministry close at hand. They have been taught by him. And now they are sent off by Jesus on the next stage of their discipleship. The 12 are released into the wild on their own. In sending them, Jesus shares his power and authority with them, meaning that they can do and say what he has done and said. So he sends them to proclaim the kingdom of God and heal those who are ill. They are sent to be like Jesus in the world. Jesus' instructions for mission he is sending them on probably left a bit to be desired. He starts with what they shouldn't do and the things that they shouldn't take with them. They are to travel light. They are to take the bare minimum. They are to send into mission in deficit, in need. All the things that the disciples are told not to take wouldn't have been unreasonable accessories. A staff, a bag, bread, an extra shirt. This is not the kitchen sink they're told to leave behind, but things that a would-be evangelist would be expecting to take on their first mission trip. Yet Jesus says, you don't need them. Why? Jesus wants his disciples to go into mission feeling that they are in a state of dependence, that they are in need. Jesus doesn't promise self-sufficiency in mission, but Jesus' sufficiency. The disciples are prepared for mission only in as far as they are dependent upon him. All service of Jesus is to be characterized by dependence upon him. We go where Jesus sends us, not dependent upon having all the material resources we need when we are sent off, not having all of our questions answered, but we go because we have trust and faith in the one who sends us. For as Jesus says in Matthew's Gospel, look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow or reap or gather in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? If the disciples had gone into mission with an elaborate support system with provisions for every eventuality, they wouldn't have gone in faith. Dependence upon God was necessary and needed. They are also to go as friends in mission, not crusaders, conquerors, or campaigners. They're to build positive relationships, seeking a welcome. And when no welcome is found, they're just simply to leave. And with these instructions, the disciples went, and they were Jesus to the villages around, proclaiming the good news. And Luke, almost as an interlude, adds that once this is going on, that Herod the Tetrarch has heard reports that Jesus is John the Baptist or Elijah or one of the prophets. But he doesn't believe this because he's just beheaded John the Baptist. But his interest in Jesus is piqued. The scene then shifts back to Jesus. And his disciples have seemingly had a good first time out on mission. And following their return, they retreat with Jesus to near the town of Bethsaida. However, as is often the case with Jesus, the crowd retreats with him. And he finds himself teaching and healing once again. And as the day wanes, the disciples see that there are a lot of mouths to feed. And so they ask Jesus to send the crowd to local towns and villages to get food and find lodgings. The disciples, though, have now been commissioned by Jesus to be like Jesus. So Jesus essentially says to them, why is this my problem? You do something about it. The disciples seem unprepared for the issue at hand, and they discern that they've got two options they can explore. One, they can go and buy food for everyone. But as there are 5,000 men plus unnumbered women and children, there's no way they can afford to do that. So they're left with option two, which is to convince the crowds to give up any of the food that they've squirreled away. But option two only produces 5 loaves and 2 fish. The feeding of the 5,000 plus is the only story that's found in the all 4 Gospels. Outside of the last week of Jesus' life. And as a miracle, it has echoes of God feeding the people of Israel in the wilderness. At this moment, when the disciples find that they haven't got enough, Jesus takes charge. He takes the loaves and the fish, he looks to heaven, gives thanks to God, and he breaks them. And he gives the pieces to the disciples to distribute. Luke has already recorded Jesus' words. Blessed are you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. And the hunger of the crowd is satisfied to the extent that there were 12 basketfuls of leftovers. In their need, the disciples depended on Jesus. At first glance, the sending of the disciples on their first mission trip and the feeding of the 5,000 are stories that don't seem to have that much in common apart from their proximity in Luke's gospel. However, there seems to be one thread that connects them, and that is dependence upon God and Jesus. Without Jesus, there would have been a lot of hungry people that day outside Bethsaida. Without Jesus sharing his power and authority, the disciples wouldn't have been able to minister as he did. Learning dependence on God is a key part of being one of Jesus' disciples. We need to learn this because as humans, we become accustomed to independence, non-God dependence. Humanity was created to be dependent upon God, yet we chose to become independent of him. That's one of the things the story of the rebellion in the Garden of Eden tells us. We turned our back on a relationship of dependence with God. We can, though, through Jesus, come back into a relationship of dependence and know the blessing of that relationship once again. The problem, of course, is all down to two people. And I don't mean Adam and Eve. I mean Tom and Barbara Good. Now, Tom and Barbara, in the UK sitcom The Good Life, advocated the lifestyle of self-sufficiency. They sought to grow all their own food, enter into the barter economy. They even generated their own electricity through a manure-powered system. Self-sufficiency was the ideal for them. And in reality, all Tom and Barbara were tapping into was the human desire was not to feel beholden to anyone else in life for anything. To feel that we don't need anything outside of ourselves in order to flourish. And you thought it was all a bit of fun. And of course, Tom and Barbara were only characters in a TV sitcom, admittedly a funny one. But there was an underlying truth there, that we as humans are inclined to self-sufficiency. There is some unspoken human aspiration towards being independent and self-reliant. It is rooted in our tendency towards selfishness, which, though undermined at times by our pre-existing image of God within us, that also drives us towards connection and community, the inclination to self-reliance means that we more than often tend to live for ourselves and within the limits of our own resources. The attitude of me in my life pervades, certainly in Western culture, in its individualism. Selfish individualism is contrary to the way of Jesus. In the way of Jesus, we come to know that fulfillment and purpose in our lives cannot be found solely within ourselves. Our sense of identity and worth can't be found through autonomy and independence. Our fulfillment, purpose, identity, and worth can only be found in Christ Jesus and the body of Christ. It's only when we come into that relationship of dependence with God in Christ that we can live life in all its fullness. Let's think briefly about two aspects of how we can learn a greater dependency upon God in our lives, which flows from our readings. The first relates to the story of the feeding of the 5,000, and it's about learning a greater dependency on God for our everyday needs. In the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000, Jesus provides for the everyday needs of the crowd. Hungry people get bread and fish to eat. This is not the miracle of caviar and champagne, but the miracle of everyday food for first century Israelites. When Jesus taught his disciples to pray, he said to pray to God to give us our daily bread. God is concerned with our daily needs. In the Old Testament, there are stories of Elijah and Elisha. God supplied Elijah with bread and meat in the wilderness delivered by ravens. After this, when Elijah was sheltering with the widow of Zarephath, God made sure that a small amount of flour and oil did not run out. Elisha fed 100 men with 20 barley loaves. These stories remind us of God's provision for our daily needs. And the most obvious Old Testament parallel to the feeding of the 5,000 is the manna and quail from heaven for God's people in the wilderness. God is concerned with our daily needs. But how much do we think about God when we seek to fulfill our everyday needs? When we put stuff in our trolleys in the supermarket or in our virtual shopping baskets online, do we think that God is providing for our needs? Or do we feel that this is occurring through a combination of our hard-earned money being spent or the work of the retailer to provide it? Where is God in our personal supply chain? God is still the one who provides for all we have. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. We, though, often turn things around and make the earth ours and everything in it ours. And we end up simply asking God to bless what we are doing and receiving. Developing a dependency upon God in our lives doesn't involve us chucking in our jobs, becoming a hermit, and expecting God to deliver our food by raven. It's about acknowledging an attitude of thankfulness and gratitude, seeing that God is the one who provides for all our needs. We may not be miraculously provided by a coronation picnic by Jesus, but we are constantly sustained by the miraculous sustainability of the planet God has provided for us. We have a God who is concerned for our daily needs, and we can learn to become more dependent upon him. The second aspect for us to think about relates to the account of Jesus sending out the 12. And it's about learning a greater dependency upon God for our everyday mission. Jesus essentially sends his disciples off on a mission trip with nothing but the clothes on their back. Jesus sends his disciples off without resources deliberately. He wants them to not rely on their own supplies, but rely on the assets he's provided for them, his power and authority. This is what they need. And the reports from when they returned sound good. It sounds like they were able to do Jesus-like things. And all of this was a precursor to what happened after Jesus ascended, when the disciples were left on their own. They continued to do Jesus-like things. And they continued to travel light. They lived in a way where possessions were shared within community. They were a persecuted minority, so they were mobile and unencumbered. The stories of mission encounters were all simple stories without added extras needed for people to come to faith. The disciples continued to go into mission, travelling light, dependent upon Jesus, clothed in his power and authority. Is this how we approach mission and evangelism? Do we go at the call of Jesus unworried about how prepared we are, but instead willing to rely on the preparedness of Jesus? Do we worry about having the right words to say, having done the right training, or about what people will think of the church? Are we guilty of overpacking in our mission plans? What we need is to be Christ-sufficient in our mission. Rely on what he has provided us in his power and authority. We will never convince people to come to faith through our own arguments or our witty banter. Someone's coming to faith is always a work of the Spirit in their lives. And going in mission with a sense of dependency upon God is going into mission naked. We will be exposed, but we will be clothed in Christ, his power and authority, and that is all we need. Living in a culture where self-sufficiency and individualism seem to be virtues, seeking to live a life of dependency upon God can be difficult. It's going against the norm, but it can also be incredibly liberating. We can live in a way that is not burdened by the belief that we are the ones who need to determine and achieve everything in our own strength and ability. We are freed from the worry and can be released into service and worship of God in our daily lives. We can come to see that all that we have and all that we do are a gift from God, and that God works in and through our lives to see his kingdom come in the world. Dependency upon God is about living a life of freedom within God's plans and purposes, knowing who we are and experiencing the blessing and joy of a relationship with him, knowing that in him we find all that we need to be fully human and faithful disciples. So may we all learn to grow in our dependence upon God in Christ in the days ahead, giving thanks for all that we have, submitting to the Spirit's work within us, and being filled with the power and authority of Jesus. Let us pray. Lord God, help us to see how dependent we are upon you for all that we have, for all that you call us to do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.